إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
The first question here, a good question, how does Islam differ from Christianity? When we study the verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى. Everything okay here? The closest to you, as in the closest to the Muslims, are those who say that we are Christians. There is a lot of commonality between the two religions. As Muslims, we believe that Jesus was born through the virgin birth of Mary, Maryam. We have in the Quran an entire chapter named after the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Maryam. We have in the Quran all the family members of Jesus, the family of Imran. It talks about Jesus, the early stage of his life, from his birth to his ascension, and everything that the Banu Israel did to him. We as Muslims believe that Jesus was given miracles. Some of the miracles are even mentioned in the Bible. We Muslims also believe in everything that is mentioned in the Bible, that he gave life to those who had died. Lazarus in the Bible is a famous account. Allah talks about that in the Quran, not about Lazarus, but in general terms, that he healed the blind and the lepers. So there is a lot of connection between Christianity and Islam. If one was to shut the eyes and say that the closest religion to Islam is Christianity, that would be right and correct in every sense, because it is mentioned in the Quran. The only point of difference is with regards to the status of Jesus. As Muslims, we believe that Jesus is the mighty messenger of Allah, and Christians believe in this doctrine of Trinity, one in three or three in one, which is completely rejected in Islam. وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثَةً. There is no such thing as Trinity, but he was the mighty messenger of Allah. With regards to the Bible, Muslims only believe in the New Testament Injil that was revealed to Jesus, not the present day Bible, not the Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of John, Mark. Even in the Christian world, there's a great debate who the authors are. Luke himself has never seen Jesus. He wasn't even born in the time of Jesus. He was the physician that followed Paul all around in his travels. And in fact, 80% is written by Paul, a man who was not even born in the time of Jesus. So it would be difficult for the Muslims to credit the Bible, the present day Bible, in any way. Yes, we do testify that Injil, the New Testament, was revealed upon this great Nabi, Messenger of Allah, Isa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq and Al-Bari. You mentioned creator and maker. Can you just differentiate that more clearly? Al-Khaliq means in general terms that Allah is the one who creates. Al-Bari is the maker, as in he is the one who gives growth to everything in his creation. And everything is made in the most perfect combination. the internal organs, the external section of the human body. And al-musawwir basically means a beautiful face that is given, not just to human beings, but everything in the creation of God Almighty. If we do wrong, it is recorded. Is it possible for it to be erased, and how is it done? What should we do? A good question. In the Islamic perspective, for the Muslims, Allah has mentioned that if you repent, Prophet Muhammad has mentioned, "At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanbala." If you repent sincerely, then Allah is merciful. He will obliterate, wipe out, erase the sins that you have committed totally, be it minor sins or major sins. But the repentance must come with sincerity, not just a formality, lift up your hands and say, "Oh, forgive me." It should be from the heart. So in the case of a Muslim, it's very simple. There are no confessions to be made. You need not to go to an imam and open yourself to him that, "Imam, this is what I have done, this is what I have done." In fact, this would be the wrong methodology. So for a Muslim, shed some tears, have remorse, cry over what you have done, and Allah is most forgiving. What makes you right and Darwin wrong? Why not accept the scientific consensus? Well, nowadays in the modern world, many books have been written against Charles Darwin, proving him wrong scientifically. Well, you're entitled to your opinion, of course. If you disagree with what I have said, that is entirely up to you. If you feel that what Charles Darwin has said, we were monkeys one day and all of a sudden we became human beings, fine. But my forefathers were not monkeys. The first man was the first man? Adam alayhi salam. And never mind Muslims, non-Muslims have totally rejected this theory of Darwinism. I'm surprised that nowadays in the modern world we have access to the internet. So much information is available. And yet we still linger on to Darwinism. Allahu alam. Look, hidayat is in the hands of Allah. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah. I am not here to indoctrinate or to spoon feed anyone. I am here just to present a message. Yeah. Salams, in this day and age, what method would you advise on the young, enthusiastic Muslims to convey the message of Islam to the non-Muslims? A very good question. One must remember that as Muslims, when we deal with non-Muslims, we should not deal with them in arrogance. We should think that they are our brothers in humanity. We should think that they are our brothers in humanity. This was the character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our mission is to invite them and speak to them with hikmah, with wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad and taught him the method of giving da'wah, spreading the message. Look, let's be straight. Christianity is a missionary religion, and you'll find Christians in Africa, in Malaysia, in Indonesia, trying their utmost best to turn Muslims into Christianity. Up to them. Likewise, Islam is a missionary religion, and we have that freedom, and we should be doing our homework also. Every man is free. So you have a friend, talk to him politely. Be sincere to him. We talk about everything. Hey, what do you think? Manchester United will win? What do you think? What's happening to Leicester? Nothing's happening to Leicester. Nothing ever happens to Leicester. But we talk about everything. Why not about religion? And this is the beauty of this country. We should be proud citizens of this country. It allows us to preach. That is democracy. We are restricted in Muslim countries to speak, which is very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. The truth is the truth. But yet, in European countries, we have that freedom of speech. And we should exercise that. We are peaceful citizens of this country. We need to contribute to this country and be truthful and never forget our objective. Our objective is that paradise, Jannah, is not just for the Muslims. Remember, my forefathers were Hindus from India. May Allah reward the companions who came to India and that part of the region. And they were worshipping God Almighty and they talked to the locals there. And Allah somehow opened up their hearts and they became Muslims. Look at Africa. The entire coastal belt of that beautiful continent, every part of it is Islam, 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 the coastal area. This is the job done by the companions. We have not moved an inch, unfortunately. So we need to do the dawah work, and dawah work is with the non-Muslims. We need to do our homework very politely, with sincerity, with love and affection. Speak to them. Look, hidayat is not in your hands. You can't convince anyone. Your duty is to pass the information. And this is the mission of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. I hope I have answered your question. Obviously, there are many angles of looking at each question, but that which comes to the mind. How can Muslims remind themselves that Allah the Most High is watching? Very good question. Umar ibn al-Khattab, the second caliph of Prophet Muhammad, what a great man he was. It is said that he would pay someone to be with him all the time. He would pay someone. And that person's duty was only to speak out in front of this great caliph of Prophet Muhammad that, O Umar, be just in what you decide, for one day you will die and stand in front of your Lord. That is the job given to that individual. So there are many ways. I think nowadays the best discipline would be to stay in the company of pious people. To stay in the company of God-fearing people. Look, if you're going to stay in the company of those who swear, you will swear. You go to a perfume shop, you don't even need to apply perfume, you will smell good. You go to the kitchen and that steam and the cooking, that will be with your clothes wherever you are. So nowadays the easiest method is to stay in the company of good people, good pious people. And whenever an opportunity is given to you, go and visit the cemetery and see the people who are resting, those that have passed away, mighty ones. Mechanics, bodybuilders, strong people, youth, young, ladies of fame, male, that were given everything, money. Lady Diana, most photographic lady, fame and everything. But everything comes to an end. Everything comes to an end. So go and visit the cemetery. What can we as Muslims do to improve relations with Muslims who are not Muslims due to media? Muslims have been given a bad name. Very good question. What we need to do is introspect. And really, when I say introspection, we as Muslims need to sort ourselves out. There is this element of hypocrisy within us. Look, it's easy to grow a beard. It's easy to wear a topi. But to be boosted in that beautiful character which is mentioned in the ahadith, we lack in that. We need to be educated. We need to study Islam thoroughly, stay in the company of pious people, and do everything to your best ability. Don't expect your other friend, your Muslim brother, to do something. Every believer needs to input and should contribute to the Islamophobia that is around us. If you read a newspaper article, reply it. Do your duty. And be intelligent. When you speak, don't let anyone twist your tongue. Form groups and study the articles, newspapers. Don't expect other people that they will do your job. As individuals, look at the sun. The sun is on a mission. It seems, unfortunately, today the only sense of Islam the world has, it is what the tabloids and the TV media portrays for them. So it is a difficult job that we have, no doubt. But remember one thing, that if they have media and technology, we have Allah. We have Allah. And with your good morals, with your good character, something simple, start off. You have a neighbor who is a non-Muslim, smile at him. Smile at him, give him gifts. When the wife is cooking, make sure you tell her, cook extra samosas, go and give it to him. Talk to him, befriend him, show him who you are. We can all contribute. We can all contribute. Subhanallah al-Azim. And we all need to do this homework. Control your anger. Don't get angry. Don't break the law. Don't break the law. There are enough Muslims in the prisons now. Enough Muslims. Be law-abiding citizens. And work with the system. Show them. And this country gives us the opportunity. You can work with them. Go into the system. Educate yourself. Don't just become doctors and lawyers. Every Asian youngster wants to become a doctor. Oh, mera ladka doctor ban raha hai. It's all about doctor. Look, we want the Muslims to fill in gaps everywhere. Everywhere. Subhanallah. In the Leicester City Council, flood it. Go. How many people work for the ambulance service? For the police? How many people? Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. How many Muslims we form the police if we have trouble? There's nothing wrong. So we need to educate ourselves and do a lot of things. Introspection. We need to make sure that we as Muslims are sincere and don't break the law of Allah. If we become pious, then Allah's nusrat, Allah's help is with us. Definitely. Unfortunately today, the majority of the believers are those who sleep when the muazzin is saying, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. And then you expect, oh, what's happening to the Muslims in Iraq? Oh, what's happening? Oh, what's happening? What's happening with you, my friend? You're sleeping when the muazzin says, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. Never mind Iraq. You haven't even got the power to lift up that blanket. You're so weak, you have muscles, but yet you have no muscles to lift up that blanket and the courage to stand up and pray Salah and prostrate God Almighty. Everybody knows about Allah, but emphasis is needed on actions and recognitions of the obligations of deen, inshallah. That's true. How can you become closer to Allah? How do you know or feel when you get closer? How do you stay on the right path? What shall you do when you follow the laws and rules of Islam and things just keep going wrong for you? Oh, so many questions, yeah? Perhaps the quickest way to tie yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to connect yourself, is in zikrullah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do a lot of zikr, remember Him. Hold a tasbih in your hands, do subhanallah, alhamdulillah, continuously remember Him. And make sure that all your obligatory duties are discharged. Make sure that you are punctual and regular in your salah, in your psalm, in your zakah, and if you have wealth once in a lifetime, hajj. And in addition to that, do a lot of zikr. Do a lot of zikr. Save yourself from sins. I know it's difficult. I'm not here to say that all of you seclude yourselves in a masjid and become a hermit or something, and monks. No, no, Islam is not that. Alhamdulillah, we live in a world. Enjoy yourselves. But there are limits. Limits to everything. If you eat too much, it's not right. If you eat too less, it's not right. Moderation. So Allah has given you the intelligence. Inshallah, if you discharge your obligatory duties and stay engaged in the zikr of Allah, you will remain on the straight path. If everything is going wrong for you, that is from shaitan. How can everything go wrong for you when Allah has blessed you with iman? Allah has blessed you with iman. Nothing is wrong for you. This is not Jannah. This is not paradise that you'll get everything on the plate. This is Darut Takleef, the house of difficulty. Difficulty will come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden an individual more than its capacity. This is a promise. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So difficulty will come. Persevere. Read the seerah of Prophet Muhammad, the difficulty he went through. And do a lot of sabr, be patient, and Allah will reward you. Remember, there is always light at the end of the tunnel. A person only gets depressed when he sits idle-minded and he does not occupy himself. That is the time when the shaitan attacks you. So never give that opportunity to shaitan. Do something. Remain engaged. Don't waste time. If an individual wants to convert to Islam, should they do this once they have stopped drinking alcohol and other similar acts, or should they convert first and try to perfect themselves? What a lovely question. Is anyone sitting here in the audience? This paper, this question comes from anyone here? From sisters. Well, dear sister, what a good question. And there's only one answer. Please don't waste time. Even Muslims are not angels today. Quickly recite the declaration of faith and at least take possession the key of paradise. So say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is His messenger. Become a Muslim, and the other issues about someone who is alcoholic, is in that habit of alcohol, inshallah ta'ala, slowly, slowly, Allah will help you. Allah will help you. And if you embrace Islam with sincerity, things will be easy for you. So don't let the shaitan deceive you that, oh, I have to be an angel before I can become a Muslim. No Muslims are angels today. If you ask me, am I an angel? No, I'm not an angel. I'm a sinful person. When I stand in front of my Lord in the masjid, It's a lot of pressure for me when I say Allahu Akbar. Can I stand and be the imam of all these Muslims? Have I got that capacity? No, I'm a sinful man. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the merciful one. At least embrace Islam, because death can come anytime. And if you die in that condition of kufr, that you disbelieved in the oneness of God, then there is no salvation. So please, dear sister, if you want to embrace Islam, please do so immediately without wasting time. Immediately. Straight after this gathering, utter the words, La ilaha illallah. And if you are listening to me, say it after me. La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. None is worthy of worship but Allah. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. And that Muhammad is the messenger, the final messenger of God Almighty. That is the declaration of faith. No bureaucracy, no formalities. Just utter simple words from your tongue. And Allah gives you the key to paradise. May Allah accept your iman, inshaAllah. Islam touches that everything is predestined. If Allah knows everything, including the future, whether we go to hell or heaven, why do we need to do good? Very good question. I was expecting that somehow. How do you stay on the right path? That's dealt with. In relation to Allah being all-knowing, all-hearing, all Muslims, do we believe that God is present in a physical form? Or Allah is above the seven heavens and knows everything by knowledge? Two good questions. Now, where is Allah? Where is Allah? As Muslims, we will not be questioned on the day of Qiyamah that where is God Almighty? Was He on the throne, on the Arsh, or was He with you in De Montfort University? As Muslims, we are told that this is a very sensitive issue. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Our scholars have considered these questions to be from the mutashabihat. Mutashabihat means to accept all the verses of the Quran that speak of Allah to be on the Arsh and that speak of Allah to be everywhere. That is the prerogative of Allah. What is meant by He is on the Arsh, what is meant that He is everywhere, that is only in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qulu amanna, we have faith. We are only told to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why, if I am not mistaken, when somebody questioned the great faqih, Imam Malik, I'm sure it was Imam Malik, about the Arsh, Arshu Stawa, he said that the question on Arshu Stawa is bid'ah, is an innovation. وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ bid'ah. So this is the firm opinion of all the scholars. As Muslims, we have to follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Worship Allah. He is your creator. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Don't open the door for the shaitan. Or you who created Allah? How is Allah? How does He look? Has He got a face? Has He got a hand? Does He run? Subhanallah al-Azim. These are all from the mutashabihat. And when this thought occurs in the mind, say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. These are the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When someone asks you who created Allah or where is He, say A'udhu Billah. Say A'udhu Billah. A'udhu Billah. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our intelligence is limited. Our sight is limited. Our hearing is limited. Our hands are limited. As human beings, we are all limited. So we can only say one thing to this very important question. That is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is predestined. If Allah knows everything, including the future, whatever, who will go to hell and who will go to heaven, why do we need to do good? Am I okay for time or? Last question. The question on predestiny, fate, taqdeer is very important. What is meant when, or what Allah has informed all the prophets, including Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah has the full knowledge. So whether your entry is in hell or heaven, even before your birth, Allah knows of that. What is meant by fate or predestiny is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His knowledge is so vast that He has given you the freedom He has given you the freedom. You are born in this world not completely independent and not completely dependent, not totally disabled. He has given you the freedom to choose between right and wrong. 124,000 prophets came for the guidance of mankind. And today, like never before, so much information is given to us of what is right and what is wrong. It is accessible to us. Now, if a man was to choose the wrong form of worship, or he does something that will lead him to hell, or he chooses the right path and he's a pious man and he believes in the teachings of all the prophets and he worships one God Almighty, then he qualifies for heaven, Jannah. What is meant by predestiny and fate is that Allah's knowledge is so vast that even after giving him the free will, the choice, Allah knows that he will choose the wrong path. Allah knows that he will choose the right path. And that is what is meant by Allah's knowledge. Allah does not put a gun on your head. Right, I need to fill up hell, so make sure you walk in the direction of hell. No. Allah is merciful. Allah has given you that freedom. But his knowledge is so vast that he knows even in that free choice what you will choose. It's like a father, when a complaint is given to him of his son, you will have some neighbors saying that this is what your son did, this is what your son did. The father knows well the character of his son. The father knows that I wasn't even there to witness what my son did. But he will say to his neighbor, you know what, you're right. I know my son for many years. This is his character, evil character. It doesn't surprise me at all what he has done. So this is just knowledge that comes by experience. Now, knowledge of God Almighty is vast. It is eternal knowledge. Now, if for a second, if we were to take al-i'azu billah, this is not an Islamic belief, that God has no knowledge of what will happen to that individual, then you might counter question someone, then how can you worship that God who does not even know what will happen to me in the future? How can we worship that God who does not even know what will happen to me in the year 2008 and 2009? So that is why what is meant by destiny or fate, predestiny, it means that Allah's knowledge is so vast that he knows that even after the free choice that I give him, he is so stubborn, he will still choose the wrong path. There is no push from God Almighty. Allah has instilled in every human being a mechanism, and that mechanism is known as fitrah, the natural state. And it is that fitrah, how you balance that fitrah, that plays the pivotal role in where that individual will fall, in heaven or hell. Hazrat Ali was questioned, how much authority do I have and how much power does God Almighty have? So he said, okay, stand up and lift up your one leg. So this is what he did, lifting up your one leg. He says, can you stand on one leg? And he said, yeah. He says, fine. This is the power given to you. Now I want you to lift up your other leg without putting the right leg on the ground. And he said, I can't do that. And he said, that is the power of God Almighty. So he has made you independent and also dependent. But the verse that is very important, the verse of the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, Allah does not burden you more than your capacity. I hope that has answered all your questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this majlis. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.